Amen. Welcome in on this Friday morning to Mornings of Box 2 Radio on the Box 2 Radio Network. What a day. Hallelujah. We serve a God who turns the graves into gardens. Aren't you glad of that on this March 6, 2026, that He came along and turned your grave into a garden? Praise be unto God for the victory of Christ Jesus through the life, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of our Messiah, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Miss Hannah, how are you this morning?
I'm doing well this morning. I felt like this is just a really beautiful morning. I'm normally rushing, not paying attention to the beauty of the morning, but also it's been hard when it's freezing cold. But it was just really beautiful outside.
Amen. It is beautiful.
The sun was just so bright, and I don't know. I think it's going to be a good day.
All right. Is your phone working today?
Yeah, it's been working. It'll just every once in a while do something weird, but I'm going to get a little device.
Yeah. It took a swim, I heard. But it is going to be a great day in the presence of the Lord, for this is the day that we will rejoice, for this is the day that the Lord has made. Amen. Exciting times in the kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. What a day it is to serve Him. What a day it is to receive Him as Lord and Savior. If you don't know Him, He is at the door of your heart knocking. Will you let Him in? Will you receive Him as Lord and receive Him as Savior? He so loves you that while you were yet a sinner, He died for you so that your sins can be forgiven. The Bible says, believe with your mouth, believe with your heart, confess with your mouth that He is Lord, and you shall be saved. Amen.
Amen.
If you are, you got questions about salvation, you got questions about the gospel, maybe you have questions about the Lord, we would always love to talk with you, minister with you, 270-257-2689. Maybe you're just passing through there on I-65 corridor there towards Glasgow and Hinesville on 91.1, and you're hearing this broadcast this morning, and the Lord is tugging at your heart, and you just need somebody to pray with you, to minister to you, to share the gospel with you, maybe give you hope in a hopeless situation, maybe give you joy where it seems depression has gripped your heart. Maybe you need some peace where anxiety is running havoc on your mind. Let me just declare one who is able to do all things. His name is Jesus. And 2,000 years ago, He died on an old rugged cross so that you could have life and you could have life more abundantly. He doesn't promise you fancy cars and big houses and a lot of money, but what He does promise you is peace, joy, and righteousness and eternal life and glorification one day. You will be with Him forevermore, and He will be your God, and you will be His people. Amen.
Amen.
270-257-2689 is the number to call. Good morning to Hinesville, 91.1, Owensboro, 98.3. Some of us are coming up your way tomorrow for the big game. Grayson County versus Davis County, 4 o'clock p.m. there at the Davis County. At the world famous Sports Center. I know a lot of people's excited to watch that one. Some of us are heading up your way tomorrow morning. Amen.
I'm sorry, I missed that tomorrow morning?
Tomorrow afternoon.
For the game. Okay, that's what
they're in that Owensboro area, 98.3.
I was like, did it get switched?
No, not again. 91.5, Litchfield-Hardinsburg. We welcome you guys in as well. Got a guest this morning, Miss Ashley Board, running for Breck County Jailer, will be in person today. She's going to come with us about 8 o'clock p.m. a.m. Hannah's got me all confused now on my days. Pastor Darren Gillespie says, let's pray for a fellow named Keith. Met him at a gas pump, witnessed him, needs Jesus. So, Father, we just ask you to move upon Keith's heart, Lord. God, that you will do extraordinary things, that you would open his eyes. That you would open his eyes to the glory and the beauty of Jesus as Messiah, yes, Lord, God. As Savior, and Father, just move on his life in tremendous ways. In Jesus' name, amen.
I love when Pastor Darren pops in with that. Like, I feel like he does it freshly when he meets the people. He'll just send it out, you know. And I think that's a good thing to do so that you don't forget.
Amen. Brother Robbie says, good morning from Nickel Ridge. Good morning, brother. He said, I think he's going to go to the game there at the World Famous Sports Center. I don't know why we always have to include that in there, but the World Famous. Everybody does whenever they say speak of it. So, but 4 o'clock, that's the big game. You know, for 91.5 listeners with in Litchfield, Grayson County, and then our 98.3 listeners at Davis County. So we're going to like...
Our two station signals can battle.
Our station signals. Who will win tomorrow, 91.5 or 98.3?
We should do a box, like how other radio stations do, like broadcasting.
They should let us be like... Well, they should be let us be like media for that or something.
Yeah,
like that.
Well, but we should just pop in just for like... And play that little countdown. And then say, will it be 98.3 or 91.5?
Which one will it be tomorrow? It is going to be a really good game. And I know a lot of people are going. But it's going to be a really good game. Grayson and Davis tomorrow night. Let's see here. Brother Greg Carwell says, good morning from Western Kentucky Parkway near White Mills. Good morning, Brother Greg. Hallelujah. It's a good day. It's going to be a great day in the kingdom of our Lord and Savior. March 9th, anointed and appointed ladies meeting there at Kingdom First Church in Caneyville, Kentucky. It's going to be a great night for you ladies. I think that starts at 6 o'clock p.m. as well at Kingdom First. There's a revival that's going to be starting for a few nights on March the 18th, I do believe, March the 18th. And we'll get you more information as that date draws near. But the anointed and appointed is 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. that night.
Yes, and then I have another announcement. So Southside Christian Center will be having a spring revival March 13th through the 15th. So Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. This is a booming weekend there. So that's in Caneyville. And there will be fellowship meal following Sunday morning service. And there's going to be Bishop Paul Pinnock and Evangelist Samuel Johnson. So if you want to go out, Southside Christian Center on Morgantown Street there in Caneyville.
Amen.
March 13th through 15th.
Plenty of opportunities the next week or two to come be in the house of the Lord somewhere, be with the body of Christ, being equipped and ready for the work of the ministry. Now, also, we've got a streak going on here, and we're going to keep this streak alive through the spring Charathon, which is March 25th, 26th, and 27th. So this streak is going to continue all the way through the 2026 Spring Charathon here on the Box 2 Radio Network, which we're very excited for. It's always a great time for spending with friends, family, the body of Christ. The Spirit of the Lord always pours out. Yes, we will be raising funds for Christian Radio, and that's essential for us to stay on the air and continue to keep going strong. But it is always an incredible opportunity to gather together for those 3 days live on air. And we just have a great time in the Spirit of the Lord. And His Spirit always pours out. Just we see people minister to. There's always tears at some point, laughter at some point. About day three, there's all kind of laughters from complete slap happiness from 30 hours of on air talking. And so but those are 3 incredible days, March 25th, 26th, and 27th. Maybe you have a testimony that you would like to record or you would like to write down. Get in touch with us at Box 2 Radio, like how Box 2 Radio may have impacted your life. We would love to hear a testimony. So it could even be a voice recorder on your phone that you just record in and send it to us. Or you can come in and we can record you here as a brief testimony, trying to make it, you know, 45 seconds to a minute or something like that. But we're going to be playing those throughout the Charathon or reading some of them. So love to have as many testimonies as we can get for that, because I know that we hear testimonies from you guys all the time. But I feel like it would be such an amazing thing to be able to hear your voice with your testimony being able to be shared over the airwaves. So
I do too. I know there's going to be several sending in, you know, ones for us to read, but don't be afraid to come. And if you're gonna do, just say something about how Box 2 Radio has impacted your life, the Lord has impacted your life through it. It's super simple. It's just these mics that we have in here You're not live or anything. You're just recording into the mics. It's not scary at all. And it's really quick, too.
All right. Well, we're going to go to the book of Acts here. We are trucking along in Acts 6:17 now. We're in Acts 17. And so make sure you're honed in for that trivia question this morning. We're going to keep this streak alive. Praise be unto God. All right, we are in 4. I think what we said we were going to repeat, or did we say we was going to? I think it was 4 we said we were
repeat.
Going
to. Repeat. Yeah. Yeah.
And some of them, talking to the Jews, were persuaded and joined Paul and Silas, as did a great number or a great many of the devout Jews. Talking about the Jews who were attending synagogue and going and God-fearing people, and not a Jew. Not a few of the leading women. So we talked about that verse yesterday. But the Jews were jealous. That's what the religious system gets whenever the moving of the Spirit of God or people receive the truth. The religious do get jealous. And then taking some wicked men of the rabble, they formed a mob, set the city in an uproar, and attacked the house of Jason, seeking to bring them out to the crowd. And when they could not find them, they dragged Jason and some of the brothers before the city authorities, shouting. Now, I'm not 100% sure who this Jason is. I'm not for sure anybody can with certainty say this is who this is or this is Jason. But we can assume that this Jason was one that they were staying with or at least closely associated, or maybe they were in their sharing. But I think that it can be under the assumption that they definitely – that Paul, Silas, and Timothy were staying there at that time. But that's pretty much all we know about Jason. Now, also, one thing I want to clear up here is that they just took a group of men. That's what the Jews. They were jealous, the wicked men. They formed a mob. They set up a city. They're having another riot. This is very similar. It's similar, but it's different than what happened there at Neapolis with the divination girl. But it's still the riot. It's still an uproar. Paul had this ability to cause those. And they were threatening. They were attacking the house of Jacob, seeking to bring who out? Paul and Silas. Mm-hmm. Again, they were getting ready to get beat up on, basically. And when they could not find them, they dragged Jason and some of the brothers before the city authorities, shouting, "These men who have turned the world upside down have come here also." And Jason has what?
Welcomed
them, received them, and they are all acting against the decrees of Caesar, saying that there is another King Jesus. And the people and the city authorities were disturbed when they had heard these things, and when they had taken money as security from Jason, the rest, they let them go. Basically, when they went out on bond. And you can see here just how angry the Jews are. The Jews are angry enough that they're going to take these men. They're going to take Jason and his brothers, literally, and some of the brothers, literally just because they're associated and they're staying there. And they're going to take them before the court, which could have turned really bad. Like, I mean, and their issue or their charge, I guess you could say, is that these men, now, the language is prophetic, the language is profound because they don't even know what they're truly saying. These men that have turned the world upside down. How true is that statement? They're here. They're here. And they're proclaiming what? Another king. Now, here's what the religious system likes to do. And we're seeing this played out because the Jews are representing the religious system that cannot see Jesus because they're blinded from their traditions, their system, what they're in. They cannot see it. I mean, him. And how does that system try to get at these men? They use the political system. Mm-hmm. The religious system and the political system so often feed off of each other.
They love each other.
And we're seeing this on display here, that the religious system will use the political system, and both systems are combining forces to try to oppress the kingdom of God.
Mm-hmm.
And we see that
right now.
We see it right now, but we see it continually, and we see it all the time through church history, all the way back to the first, how the religious system and the political system, and let me just say this respectfully, a lot of times you can't even differentiate who's who. And this is what you're seeing. Rome, martyred the church. The Jews martyred they hated the church. Rome hated the church. Why do they both hate the church? Because they're threatened from the kingdom.
Mm-hmm. And because Jesus said they first hated me.
Yeah.
So that's why they hate you.
Neither one will be able to rescue the world. There's never going to be a politician that can fix the issues. They can regulate laws, but they cannot change people's hearts. There'll never be a religious system profound enough to get people to the Lord, because the only way we can come to the Lord is through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. There is no other way to the Father except me. Anybody that gets to him any other way than me is a thief and a robber. There's only one way to the Father. That's through Jesus, his Son. There's no religious system that will ever get you to God. God actually came to us. That's the beauty of the gospel. Religion's always teaching us, this is what you got to do to obtain God. The kingdom and the gospel says, this is what God sent to obtain you, his Son. It's the total shift. And politicalness, there will never be. The laws can help regulate morality to an extent, but they can never actually transform culture and transform society without a revelation or a revival. Laws we see are made every single day, and men continue to break them. So political systems, they'll never fix the issue. They'll never be the savior of the world. And here's what I must say. Religion and politics both will bow its knee at the name of Jesus one day. And one day, all the kingdoms of this world will become the kingdom of our God. All the world, all the kingdoms of this world, they will become the kingdoms of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Both the religious system and the political system one day will have to bow its knee at the throne of Jesus, and they will be no more. That religious type spirit, that political type spirit, and we see both of those operation, and we see it all throughout the book of Acts if we pay attention, how they are both attacking the kingdom of God.
Amen.
Ethan says, if the Ten Commandments couldn't fix men's heart, then neither will any law from man. Mm-hmm. What laws do most of the time is expose our hearts. And that's what the Ten Commandments did. How did we know sin prior to the law? We didn't. We still sinned and we were held accountable for it. But the way we knew sin was after the giving of the law, because the law was our schoolmaster to teach us really just how sinful we are. And Jesus told us, if you break one tittle, one T, if you don't dot the I just right in one part of the law, you are guilty of all the law.
But even laws of the land, like when you talk about that, when people become obsessed with religion and politics, they actually, I mean, look at all the corruption. Like Jesus was saying, these laws that you all are wanting everybody else to follow, you're not following them yourself. And I think it's the same thing with when you make that an idol and you become so obsessed with it. We see corruption all the time.
Yeah.
The ones who are so passionate, quote unquote, about the law of the land, they're running, you know, they want the positions. A lot of times they're not actually following the law of the land. They're trying to manipulate or, you know, they want to enforce it on other people, but they don't want to live it out themselves. And that's where, I mean, that's where having your heart right with the Lord is, I think, even the only way that we can follow even the laws of the land the right way.
I feel like that both of these, that religious type spirit, and let me say this, like, I don't think there's a demon called religion necessarily. I don't think there's a demon called politics. I think what is being said here, and what I mean by this, is that it's people who give themselves to that in expectation of that's what will save them. They're trusting in religion or they're trusting in politics. Both of them will let them down. Like both of them will. There's one who never lets us down, and his name is Jesus. But here, what we do see out of religion and politics either time is what Hannah was, there's power. Like power, influence, all these things, they're what so often these two areas. And let me just say this. All religion and politics are not evil. God gives men authority on the earth. All right? We're to pray for our leaders. We're to pray for those who are in office. We're to pray to those, pray for those that are needing God's wisdom. Like, this is what we should pray for our leaders, that they will operate in godly wisdom, that they would make wise decisions, that they would make sound judgments. These are the things we should pray for there. And we should pray for them to come to repentance when they're out of God's will and out of God's word. We should pray that they would make decisions that really are beneficial and for safety and providence, in the sense of good economic decisions and worldwide decisions and all these kind of things. We should pray for our leaders every single day. So God does give authority to men. Now, one day, all of that authority is going to bow at the name of Jesus, and all kingdoms of this earth will become the kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. There is religion that's true and undefiled, and that is what? Taking care of the orphans. It's the being a father to the father. It's making sure those who are less fortunate are taken care of. And so I couldn't hit the sneeze button fast enough. But so all religion and all politics are not inherently evil. But if we give ourselves to those, and especially when those systems start operating against the church, now you know that it's definitely a demonic nature, and it's a demonic attack. Now, I do want to say all that to say that I don't think there's necessarily a demon named religion.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think there's a demon named politics. I think it's systems that are set up in this world.
It's man. It's when man's, when sin really starts to creep into the high places of leaders and
I think it's where
structures.
Men continue to try to get more power.
Yes.
Like, people use religious systems to gain power and influence. And we see the detrimental consequences of that in our society today, where pastors are falling morally, ethically, and even judicially. We see politicians that have, we're seeing more exposures over and over and over. And we have this politician being removed from office, that politician being removed from office, that mayor doing this, or that councilman doing that, or that senator doing that, or that representative doing that. We give ourselves to power. We give ourselves to things, and we think that what's done in dark won't be coming to light. Now, we can't, if you're somebody in your seat that says, oh, yeah, go get them, Lord, you may want to check your own heart, because he may come get you too. All right, so let's just remember that. When we say what's happened in the darkness comes to light for the politicians and that religious leaders, that same truth comes to us, because we will reap what we sow, especially if we remain unrepented of it. Now, so I think that we must be careful to go pulling the log out of other people's eyes, pulling the speck out of our friend's eyes, or pulling the speck out of this person's eyes and forgetting the log that's in our own. I think these warnings and what we're seeing is to be cognitive and to be heads up, that if either one of those systems start to pull on our hearts too much, remember, you can't serve two masters. You can't serve two masters. If you are somebody that's a Christian that feels called to run for public office, it should be for the kingdom's sake. It should be so that you could have a place of influence and authority in the earth to glorify God with the decisions you make. Not just so that you can make something better, it's so that you can make something God glorifying, and that you could be a place of influence and a place of worthiness, but you are there to lead and to make godly decisions and to make it God glorifying, not just good. All right.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think what happens is we think that we can serve two masters. So this is my sphere of politics over, and this is my sphere of religion, and this is my sphere of this, and this is my sphere. No, there's one sphere that we serve, and that is Jesus. That's the kingdom. And how that kingdom permeates every other sphere of society, you can't be different in any sphere. You're always the same. So if you're going to be a kingdom-minded person who runs for government, or you're going to be a kingdom-minded person in religion or whatever it looks like, whatever sphere you want to call out in those seven, I don't care what you want to call it, whether it's what you're doing in the music industry, or whether that's what you're doing in sports, or whether that's what you're doing in education, or that's what you're doing in the medical field, all of that, you don't get to separate yourself from being a Christian.
Yeah.
Like, following Christ, being a disciple of Christ, that's what drives you to be in those spheres, and you don't get to separate yourself. Like, that's where
we're always supposed to have influence. Just like it said, they turn the world upside down. I love, we just wrapped up a book that we were doing with a group, and the last chapter talked about you don't have to reach the entire world. Like, God isn't going to hold each person accountable for reaching the entire world, but you are going to be held accountable for your sphere of influence. And I love the way that they put that, because that's true. Like, we're going to be held accountable for the ones that God put in front of us. And how often do we change? You know, we're not the same with those, you know, if we're not careful and we aren't walking in the Spirit, then we can be one way in one area with politics, and then you're getting a different version of us when it comes to our work, and then you're getting a different version when it comes to church. Like, so I love that, because, you know, that's where we're going to start having impact. That was the last chapter name, was impact on the ones around us and our own life. Like, it's when we begin to be the same, have the same integrity, have the same boldness. And I mean, the Lord gives us grace. I think we are learning this every day, how to be consistent in that. But I mean, it's very important. Well, even like their joy was so great. I mean, and you talked about that on Sunday, I think. Like, the last thing you want to see when you're down in the dumps, basically, is somebody filled with joy. You don't want their joy. And like, I know that these people didn't have a relationship with the Lord, so they had never really known true joy, but it was still the truth. Like, the joy of being a follower of Christ, that joy that no one can truly take away, and the joy of doing the will of the Father, like, they walked in that, and that was so irritating to these people, too. I think that was a huge part of it. And so we see that, like, we shouldn't dim our joy around these different people, like we were talking about.
Nah, tassels to another, it's clean hands. Nah, lift our souls. Amen. Give us clean hands, Lord, and let us not lift our song to another. Welcome in for those maybe just joining us on this March 6, 2026. What a great opportunity, privilege, and honor it is to have you with us today. May the God of grace and may the God of glory multiply grace and peace unto you today as you go about your day. May you thrive in the kingdom of the Lord and Savior, and may God fill you with His presence and His Spirit so that you may be witnesses of His kingdom wherever you may step. Amen.
May we be thermostats and not thermometers.
Hallelujah. Well, it's so cool. We have a new listener, got the trivia question right this morning, so his name's going to be in for this 2-week drawing.
Cool.
His name is Austin Miller from Hodgensville, Kentucky. Said he just downloaded the app today. He's going to come and help. He's going to come and do a broadcast for Hudson Community in April. And so downloaded the app this morning from Hodgensville, been listening, said he loved what he's seeing and the music. And so, Austin, welcome in, brother. It's such an honor and a privilege to meet you on the phone. And may God bless you and fill you with His Spirit afresh today.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah.
I was wondering how he found out about us all the way over there, but had a connection.
Amen. So it was 20 years, though. 20 years.
He was quick because Miss Elizabeth texted immediately, has somebody called? And I mean, it was...
I had 3 calls right there.
Really?
But it was really exciting to always hear from a new part of the family.
Yeah.
Amen.
When's he coming?
I think he said
April
with Hudson Community. So, cool. And Hudson Community's got that they have a broadcast on Sunday mornings. And so they've been a part of the Box 2 family for a while now. I don't know how many years exactly, but I know it's been many years. So
theirs is before service here.
Yes, yes. Yeah. They are, I do believe, we have a lot of programs.
We have Madrid, we have Potter's Hope.
Yeah, I think they're at 8:30 It's either 8 or 8:30 on Sunday mornings, mm-hmm. And so they come in live and
so
do
you early birds
Sunday.
That are up and ready before you come to church to worship. You tune
well,
in.
I don't know if 8 would be an early bird.
this day and time.
And so, but
early bird yeah, be like when, 5 or 6, when, but on
well,
Sundays.
I'm talking from one who's grown up playing with Jack. So,
but you know what I mean? I mean, like, yeah, that, not to be up.
We've got a great lineup. If you've never listened to the early mornings on Sunday, they're great. Potter's Hope. And we've got
now ones who go
Madrid
to
over there,
the early service,
Hudson.
Like churches that have two services, those people will be up and listening. The yep. ones that go to the first service.
That's true. That's sure. true, but yeah, we love Hudson right down the road, and I've had the great honor of preaching there a few times on Sunday nights, and it was always a very blessed time over there. And I remember one night it was we were on the tail end of COVID. I remember that, and it was still like it was kind of those moments. A lot of people still weren't meeting, and some were, and they had asked me to come speak on a Sunday night, and. I had the great honor to do that, and just actually the house was full, and it was still that moment like you didn't know, am I supposed to shake people's hands, am I supposed to, they want a hug, they want to, you know, it was a weird season in the church, like do they want it, do they not want it, are they going to freak out, like, and I remember the Spirit of the Lord flowed through that place that night, and just so many, the altars were full, weeping, there was so much hugging, there was so much laughed. It was just a real move of his Spirit that night, and it was an incredible time in his presence, and it's been an honor every time I've had the great honor to minister
so
there, just a couple times.
Where are they? Are they
just
on
right down 401? The road? Yeah, just about
I thought
mile
I had
or two,
passed them on 401.
Just a mile or two on the right past Madrid Pentecostal there with Pastor Josh and Brother Billy. So
a white church.
On yeah. your right. So, great, great church over there. Amen. Well, Miss Hannah, do you have a Kingdom Corner for us this morning?
I do.
Amen.
So, I was, felt like the Lord put some stuff on my heart from Mark chapter 5, which at first I was like, why am I going back to, I feel like I haven't been really studying into deliverance or anything like that in a while. And honestly, I don't think that was, he took me to Mark chapter 5 where the demons are driven out into the swine, but he didn't really keep me there. I didn't stay there with the deliverance itself. So I'm going to start in verse 14. So we know what happened that the Lord, that Jesus came on the scene and immediately he was met with the man that was had legion. I mean, thousands, at least 2,000 demons. And so then he goes on. He cast the unclean spirit out, and they begged him to go into the swine. And then, of course, their mission is always to kill, steal, and destroy. They drove the swine off the cliff to die. So I'm going to start with the herdsman. The herdsman was very upset after this happened. So in Mark 5, chapter 14, the herdsman fled and told it in the city and in the country. And people came to see what it was that had happened. And they came to Jesus and saw the demon-possessed man, the one who had the legion, sitting there, clothed and in his right mind. And they were afraid. And those who had seen it described to them what had happened to the demon-possessed man and to the pigs. And they began to beg Jesus to depart from their region. As he was getting into the boat, the man who had been possessed begged him that he might be with him. And he did not permit him, but said to him, "Go home to your friends and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how he has had mercy on you." And he went away and began to proclaim in the Decapolis how much Jesus had done for him, and everyone marveled. The first thing that stuck out to me here was I've been praying, Lord, before I ever read this, what's been on my heart to pray is just, Lord, don't let us get in the way. Don't let us get in the way of you moving. Don't let me get in the way of what you want to do in my life. don't let me and my own desires and my own preference stop what you have for me. Because if I live this life distracted and I miss out on what you have for me, then what was the point, you know? I just wasted my time here on the earth that is so short. And I feel like he started to highlight this herdsman to me, and it just stuck out to me more than ever. You know, we just finished reading in Acts about whenever the woman with divination, it's a similar, show you the parallels here that I'm seeing, is the system that she was leaving to make money for the community that she was living, I'll put it like that. They were so upset whenever she was delivered, they could not see the glory and they could not rejoice with her that she was free, because they were so upset about losing money. They were so upset about losing their comfort and what she could do for them. It was all about what she could do for them. And same thing here. The herdsman, and I'm not saying that this would have been hard. I'm not saying that this would have been an easy thing. I mean, if you lose, if you're losing that much of your property and it's costing you your finances, and I don't think we probably could understand, most of us, how much of a loss that he would have had here. But then he's all upset because, you know, he's lost so much and he's angry. And then the people in the city come, you know, the ones that are sitting and waiting and just ready to be naysayers. And they come and then they see that what he's saying is true. And there is fear of the Lord. But this is the thing that gets me, is that when they begged Jesus to depart, and they began to beg Jesus to depart from their region, I don't know why that, it did say that they were afraid of what happened, and I'm sure that that's a natural response, but for some reason that just stuck out to me last night, and I was praying about it, and I was like, Lord, don't let us be so afraid or so blinded by our own wants, our own fears of what's going to happen if we lose control over what's happening when you come on the scene, when you start to move, that we are willing, that we actually are working against you, that we don't want you, that our heart, our lips may be saying one thing, but our hearts are saying, I don't want you to move. I don't want the glory, because that means that we're going to be losing things. We're going to be at a loss in areas. It's going to cost us something. And, you know, this theme, we see it all throughout scripture, but I had never really, it just stuck out to me in a new way with this story. And then, you know, I had always thought after that the man who had been delivered, that he was just so excited and amped up and just zealous, that's why he wanted to jump in the boat with Jesus. And maybe that was part of the reason why he wanted to go with him. But this time reading it last night, it was awesome that I went here, and it just built upon what we were talking about last night, that sometimes we have this encounter with the Lord. We're born again. We're excited. We want to tell everybody, but then reality sets in. And then we start to realize the consequences, or the fact that people might not receive what we're going to be telling them. They might not be happy about what's happened in our life. We might face persecution and ridicule, people laughing at us or not taking us seriously, or actually trying to come against us. And in this man's case, I mean, I would not want to be this guy. Like, the whole entire city was upset with him, not happy for him for what had happened, but they were upset. So I had never really thought about that I think one of the reasons why Jesus told him, no, you can't go with me. Yes, it was because he wanted him to spread the light to the rest of the community. Yes, it was because, you know, God has a plan, and he has certain people that he has chosen for certain callings to, you know, he called the 12, and, you know, there were others that he allowed to follow him, but there were times that he told people to stay where they were. I get all that. But what stuck out to me this time was Jesus wasn't going to let him run away from his reality. And his reality was he was going to face a lot of hard stuff from what the kingdom coming down in his life. But with that also is going to come breakthrough. And so he did listen. He was obedient and he went back and he proclaimed Jesus to the rest of the city. But I had just never caught that because, you know, I would have thought like, well, Jesus would have just let him come with him. I mean, if he's zealous and wants to be a part of Jesus' ministry. But I think I saw here that just like we are get afraid sometimes of how we're going to face the people that we are making angry, the people that are upset with us, the people that are really those spirits that are upset with us. We don't want to face that because we know that it's going to be hard. We know that it's going to come with cost. It's going to come with ridicule, loneliness, you know, all of these things. And I think that's just what I saw this time was Jesus wasn't going to let him escape that because Jesus had, it's part of taking up our cross and following him. And it's only going to, it was only going to make him stronger and deepen his faith as he walked it out. But I think that we can all kind of relate to that because when God does something in our life, we do get kind of a spiritual high, but then when we start to see the people coming with their angry faces, their scared faces, they're disappointed and they're not rejoicing with us. I don't blame the guy for wanting to go with Jesus. Like the people that actually are going to be happy and rejoice with you and joyful with you. It's easy to be with people who you're like-minded with. It's not easy to stay in a place where people aren't like-minded with you and your assignment is the ones who completely disagree with you, completely are upset with you, completely don't want to hear the truth. But so often that's where God places us for a purpose. Just as he sent Isaiah to the people who weren't going to receive what the word that he had for them, the stiff-necked people. He sent Jeremiah, prophet after prophet, to people who, I mean, Jonah didn't know if the people were going to receive what he had to say. He was bitter and hoped that they didn't. But all that to say, there was just so much in this that came out this time. So,
amen. Well, we did have a question before we go. We got about 10, 11 minutes left before break. And then we've got with us this morning, Miss Ashley Board, who's going to be running for Brett County Jailer. Is that correct?
Did she find her way?
Oh, I don't know.
Oh, hello. Yeah, she's here.
Yeah. I thought I saw somebody in the corner of my eye come in, but I was doing something on my phone.
Sorry.
But we did have one question from a listener that asked us when we get time to cover it, and I didn't know if we was going to get to it today or next week, but they asked about worship and what worship is. And I think that is a one common thing that we talk about, you know. We call worship like praise and worship. Like that's what we do before the sermon. That's what we do on the few songs. That's what worship is, a song. Worship can be a song. But I think the thing we must always reiterate, worship's a lifestyle. So worship in its truest sense is what we give somebody based upon their worth. It's worship. It's they're worthy of what I can give them. They're worthy of this. We must be careful not to worship other things or other people and give them our all, give them all of our thoughts, give them all of our money. We got to be careful. Anything that takes more time up and dominates you, or you're willing to do it all for that, like I think that becomes, it can very well become worship. Now, every time we do something, I don't want to say it is worship. Like if I go to grocery store, I'm worshiping the grocery. I don't think that's the case. I think once we give ourselves to those things. And only you can determine your own heart. I think we can do a lot of things, but I think this is where Paul talks about do all things for the glory of God. So I'm doing this for God. I'm doing this to grow closer to the Lord. Now, that doesn't mean every single thing in your life, like, all right, I'm going to go and eat this candy bar. Now, how do I make this spiritual so I'm not worshiping candy bars? Like, I want to be a little bit cautious to make this that extreme, but I do think there's an extremity to it that you can watch sports, but also sports can become an idol. You can play sports, but sports can become an idol. You can have entertainment, but you can't let entertainment be the driving force of your life. Like, there's a balance to be had in this, for sure.
I like what you say. You've said a lot. You can have something, but don't let that thing have you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
If we have it and it's just an accessory or a part of life that we enjoy from time to time, but it doesn't have us, it doesn't have a grip on us, it's not the thing that we are continuously coming and giving ourselves to it.
Yeah. I think so. I think there's, like, you can have money, but money can't have you. You can even have authority and influence. Just make sure they don't have you. Like, I think that's whenever worship starts to, there's only one that should have us, and that's the Lord.
It's like we should be the master. Like, we should be able to have dominion over whatever that thing is. We should have the ability to say, I'm going to turn this off.
Yeah.
Or I'm going to, you know, I don't have to do this today. And I think whenever it has us is when it becomes like habitual. I have to have this. I have to have this. I think a good role too is like when you're upset or you're stressed, like, what do we go to? Because I'm not saying like every time that we're stressed and we go and do something healthy, like for ourselves, that I'm not saying that's bad, but like if something is the thing that we turn to for comfort all the time instead of the Lord, that's a red flag.
That's in theology what we would call your functional savior. But as for worship, I think one verse that sums up worship really well is, I'm a living sacrifice. I'm laying myself down at his feet. All that I have is his. If he wants me to use these giftings for this, if he wants me to use the financial blessings he's given us for this, or whatever it looks like, my life is a living sacrifice, wholly surrendered to him. And I think as we worship him that way, we surrender all things. It does not mean that we all become monks, shave our head, wear a robe, and move to the mountains. That means that whatever we have in life, wherever we're going, whatever decisions, that our greatest hope is it brings honor to him, that we're doing it for his glory, that we're doing it for his namesake, that my life is an act of worship, that yes, there's times that I will sing, yes, I will lift my hands, but all of that is empty and void if I do not have a heart that's given to him. And this is what Isaiah 1's warning us, is that the Lord literally tells Israel, I hate your festivals. I hate your Sabbath. I hate it. He said it makes them sick in Isaiah 1. Why? Because your heart is far from me. So just lifting your hands or singing a song, that's not worship. It's whenever our heart is fully given to him in the song. That who we are outside of the song is the same person as in the song. And we are giving ourselves fully to him, that he is our all in all. He is our desire. One thing that I desire, that's to dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. That does not mean, please do not shave your head, get a burlap sack robe and move to the mountains and call yourself Monk Hannah. All right. Like, no, it means that wherever we're at, whatever we're doing, whatever job, whatever situation, whatever life is for us right now, whether it's being a dad, being a mom, being a husband, being a wife, whatever it looks like, you're a teacher, you are flipping burgers at a restaurant, you are checking people out at the grocery store, you're digging ditches, you're fixing plumbing, whatever it is, we're doing it for the glory of God. To the glory of God, so that people may know him, and that through our testimony of our work ethic, to our testimony of our character, through the testimony of our integrity, it's all worship to him. Through our money, through our finances, through the way we love, through the way we parent, through the way we serve our and love our spouse, it's all to the glory of him, for the glory of his name, so that people may see Jesus in us, and that our life will be a sweet fragrance unto his nostril. That we are a living sacrifice laid down before him to say, my prayer is that you are pleased, Lord. My prayer is that this is a sweet smell. Not to get to heaven. We're not trying to get, it's just my worship. Just like that woman of the city. She came, washed his feet with her hair. That's worship. It wasn't because she sang a song. And I'm not against singing songs. But if all you think worship is singing a song, then probably what you're doing is singing a song.
Yeah.
It's a lifestyle. It's a fullness of who you are. It's a laying down. In that song, I lay me down at his feet. But at the grocery store, I may not be physically laying down on the floor. And if you do, it's cool. But I am still lay down. I worship you, Lord. Whether I'm singing with my voice or whether I'm picking food out for my kids, I worship you.
I think the singing is literally just to get it drilled in our mind. Like, that's what singing should be. I mean, I do think there's power in our words. Like, things shift as we if we have faith of what we're speaking, I do think when it's lined up with the word, it has power. But I think it's the repetition to get it in our mindset, get it in our spirit, get it. And I saw this thing. I think it was good for the worship conversation. It was talking about your kids. It said it was a dad in the video, but it was like, you say that you would die for your family. And then it shifted and it started showing these different things. And it said, but will you work out for your family? And it gave reasons, like, to be not just to look good, but to be strong, to be able to lift your kids, lift baby Ezra's. Will you eat? Will you eat healthy for your family so that you can live longer? Will you chase your dreams for your family so that you can show them what it means to work hard and to move forward? Will you do all of these things? And then at the end it said, you say that you'll die for them, but will you live for them? And it's the same thing with the Lord. We, you know, Peter's like, I'll die for you. I'll this, all that. And, you know, Jesus didn't, he warned them, like, they're going to face things, but he's like, feed my sheep. And, like, we want to die for, we say that we'll die for him, but will we live for him? And I think the living for him, not to minimize, like, being a martyr or anything like that, because that's going to flow out of a life living for him. But will we live for him? Will we do the things that we really don't want to do in order to have more Christ-likeness produced in us?
Amen. Now the question is, will you help us continue our streak? One more answer this morning, and we're 2 weeks straight. And then we're going to go all the way through, and then beyond.
To infinity and beyond.
To our spring share-a-thon. So we've got, like, what, 3 weeks after this week? Let me see here. No, 2.5 weeks. So we'll have 2.5 weeks after this. So we'll have 12 more days of questions that we'll have to get right. But the first step, how do you eat an elephant? One bite at a time. One bite at a time. And the next bite of the elephant's this next question, and we're going to need you to answer it. In the city of Lydia, Peter healed a man named Aeneas, that's how it is, sorry. Peter healed a man named Aeneas. What was the man's illness? In the city of Lydia, Peter healed a man named Aeneas. What was this man's illness? 270-257-2689. We'll be right back here after the break on Mornings of Box 2 Radio on the Box 2 Radio Network. Amen. Welcome back in after the break here on this March 6, 2026 here on Mornings of Box 2 Radio on the Box 2 Radio Network. Our streak is still alive. We do have an answer for that trivia question. In the city of Lydia, Peter healed a man named Aeneas. What was the man's illness? It was palsy. Acts 9:33. And Miss Elizabeth Higdon, again, was the one to get that right. So our 2 weeks here, we've got them all. 2 weeks in a row. All right,
this is,
we're on a roll. Dave Ramsey would say the snowball is building in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we have a guest with us this morning, Miss Ashley Board, correct?
That is correct.
She is running for Breckenridge County Jailer.
Yes, I am. It's a privilege to be here. Thank you all for having me.
Oh, it's our honor. Thank you for coming in and being with us this morning, making the drive out here. And so you are... let's just start off with, I don't really have many questions for preliminary, so let's just get right into it. Is that good?
That's perfectly fine.
What drives you to want to be jailer?
There's a number of things that have driven me for this position. I apologize for my voice. I've been sick for the last week.
Oh, you are
so
fine.
I'm trying to, like, make everything work. The main reason is I want to be able to help people on a much larger level. Mm-hmm. Currently, I'm employed at Meade County Detention Center, where I have been a deputy jailer, currently the programs administrator there. I've been there for 10 years. And I'll be honest with you, God had put it on my heart to run in this election because I had considered going back to school for psychology, where I could help my coworkers and our local agencies with, you know, trauma, PTSD, that type of care. And the more I thought about it, the more God had laid on my heart to do something different.
Mm-hmm.
I never thought that I would be running a political campaign. I never thought that I would be a politician or a candidate for any type of electoral position. And he has literally allowed me to just, he's like, Ashley, just be patient.
Yeah.
Be patient and follow me. And everything, I mean, this morning was kind of a testament to the struggles. I mean, nothing was going correct. And I just, he kept saying, just be patient, just be patient. So I just want to help people on a larger level. And he is guiding me to do that. And that's pretty much my platform. It's just, I want to help people on a different level. I want to be able to help our community. I want to be able to help the employees that are currently there. I want to be able to help those that are currently incarcerated. I want to be a stable foundation for the families that are affected by those that are also incarcerated.
Yeah. So you've had 10 plus years now.
Yes. I've also had 2 years on our Meade County Sheriff's Department as well as a reserve deputy.
Okay. Awesome. Yes. And so you've brought some experience into this, and in your experience, what's some things you think our system could do better? Because I know that, like, it's a big system. I mean, if you think about it, I think, if I'm not mistaken, education, Medicaid, and what we spend in incarceration is three of the biggest things. That holds like 80% of our budget in Kentucky or something like that. And so I know it's a huge, huge undertaking. But what's some things you would love to tackle and change, and how would you begin to help people?
So currently, Governor Beshear has the Second Chance program that he's working on throughout the state, where it allows individuals to have reentry help or assistance once they are released.
Mm-hmm.
That is something that we have been on the very bottom working towards at Meade County. I've been so busy, I haven't really had to touch base on it as much as I'd want to. But we had contacted Lexington, where the first or the Second Chance program or academy had actually took off,
mm-hmm.
and got with them on some of the things that would be beneficial for our area. That type of program is going to allow individuals to have job placement. Other agencies or other employment would have to, you know, be Second Chance employers where they could come have a job. They would also help them. Let's say they're out for a year and they lose their job, they are able to access this facility again to help with job placement as well. That's something that I'm currently, like I said, I'm working on. I would love to bring down here as well, but that's a program that's going to take a lot of networking with a lot of individuals, with a lot of different entities that are going to have to be involved in order for that to be successful. A lot of times we think that once individuals are incarcerated and they're released, they're fine. And that is one of the biggest things that I have been working on for myself and for our facility, is to try to help advocate for these individuals once they do get out, because they don't have any money. Mm-hmm. It's difficult for them to have a job or find a job. They may not have a place to live. A lot of times they settle and go back to where they came from, which then just repeats the pattern of why they were there in the first place. So my thing is, and this is something that I have been gradually working towards, is working with local sober living facilities. We had our first acceptance at the Gift House.
Mm. Awesome.
Our first female from Meade County will be going to the Gift House in Hardinsburg once she's released. So they're going to partner up with her and kind of be her pushing force and her stability until she can get herself on her feet. And then I also work with Sierra's House, that's also located in Brandenburg. And we've also have individual. She had started with me as far as programming, mm-hmm. and then she advanced to Sierra's house. She did her 6 months there. She has gone back to school. She works for Communicare, and they just recently finished building her a house. The Fuller Center had built her a house, and she has her grand opening next week. So
wow.
our job doesn't just stop once they leave. Mm-hmm. We need to continue to provide some type of stability or assistance for once they get out.
Yeah, absolutely.
We have connections with both of those.
Yeah, and
houses, the gift house.
Yeah, we love Miss Nancy Tate here, and just what she's done for the yes. Sierra House and the community. And we, of course, you know, then you also have Exodus House in Hardinsburg right now that's doing well and just always full. So there is that great need for it because, you know, so often when they do come out, that a lot of the occurrence where they come back in is because they don't have a way out. Like, and you don't change the environment. You don't change who they're with. You don't change the atmosphere. If they go right back into where they were, honestly, they're probably going to go right back to where they were. And so it is a cycle that you have to finally get where it's not just about punishing them. It's about helping them get out of that system and get out of the
equipping
generational them. Issues, get out of the atmospheres. And so I love that you're on that path and that, you know, you're thinking into that, especially with the houses. And I don't think people realize how important these houses are to communities and to the people there.
Yeah, I don't believe people really understand the full aspect of what these entities do for these individuals. I mean, could you imagine being incarcerated and getting out and all you have is the clothes on your back and the $3 that were in your wallet? Now what do you got to do? Mm-hmm. You've got to figure out how you're going to get home. You got to figure out how you're going to get a job because a lot of places don't want to open up to somebody that has a past, which is unfortunate because everybody should be, I feel like, given a second chance to better themselves. I'm all for somebody trying to better themselves. And that's another thing that I want to instill is once they get out, I want them to be able to understand that they can communicate with me, which I do have some current offenders that have gotten out and they still contact me when they do need help. That's what I'm here for. I don't want our job just to stop in the, you know, in the jail. It has to also be a networking between us and other entities in order for these individuals to be successful, to help them get jobs, to help them, you know, have a stable support system, because a lot of times they don't have that.
Yeah, absolutely. If I may take a minute, just 1 minute, I'll give a brief testimony of what we're talking about here. I can't use names, of course, but it was probably about 3 or 4 weeks ago. I had a man appear in my office out of nowhere, and he basically just said, "I have nowhere else to go. I just got out of prison." And he's not asking for anything. He just was having a very difficult time. And there was some really personal things I won't go into. But we were able to minister to him. We prayed with him for 2 days. He came back for 2 days. And I spent hours in that room with him. And then finally we were able, through really the Exodus House, who helped us tremendously, to get him into the right programs, get him to right here. And he's thriving. Last time I heard, doing well. Just really, you know, just God moved in his life in amazing ways. But his statement was, "I have nobody else in this world. And the only thing he's ever heard from me was on the radio." And he just shows up and he said, "I'm just going to give this a shot. Will you help me?"
Wow.
And I think there's that statement of, just because somebody has done wrong or somebody's made a mistake doesn't mean they're worthless, doesn't mean that they're helpless, and doesn't mean that they're hopeless. For one, through Christ, he is the anchor of hope. He is the God of hope, and all things are possible through him. And also just having connections and working as a community to help those, because I don't know about you all, I may not have made a mistake like they did, but I made plenty of mistakes.
Absolutely. We've all made mistakes. Unfortunately, theirs have put them there, but they still need somebody in their corner. We all make mistakes. Unfortunately, theirs have put them there. Now, a lot of, you know, and people disagree. They get this, they get that. But at the end of the day, they still are human. They still need to be treated with love, care, and affection and acceptance. They still need to be supportive. Now, there's going to be some, you know, that's just going to be their way of life. And you can try to help them as much as you possibly can. But until they're willing to help themselves, me or you trying to help is not going to be beneficial.
Yeah.
So the whole purpose of trying to help them is if we could help one, two, three people, I mean, that's a success in itself. I just want better for everybody, and I want them to have the stable opportunities that everybody, every one of us has been allowed to have.
Amen. Well, can I ask you a question, like, pertaining to your experience more? How many times do you run into people who are struggling with things that have been, like, you can tell it's generational? Like, it's just how they've been brought up. It's what the system has, how maybe their home life has done it. Maybe even fatherlessness, what that plays into it. What's your experience into that?
Majority of the time, it's all of those things. Like I said, I teach programs at Meade County, and I have about 45 individuals that I facilitate. And each one of them have, if it's not, you know, the loss of their parents not being there, or the generational addiction, if it's not, it's just, they all have something that's in common, and it's whether it's trauma, addiction, they don't know how to cope. They all have something that has stemmed from the usage. Now, not everybody that's incarcerated is an addict.
Absolutely.
You know, sometimes they go in there for child support or other means, but you still have to offer, you know, support for them, because they've also may have had a traumatic issue that has occurred that has potentially put them there, or, you know, it's just...
Well, their help could be different. Maybe they need to learn budgeting. Maybe they need to learn why stewardship. Maybe there's so many different facets. Everybody, there's somewhere we can help and serve each other and love each other.
At the end of the day, everybody that I work with, the main focus is trying to provide a support, a stable foundation for them, and for somebody that will listen to them. That's what I do. And I have to kind of individualize each one of them when I work with them. And that's the beauty of my job, is I get to see some of these individuals come in at their absolute worst. And then I get to see them flourish through their programming. And then I eventually get to see them. They have a job. They have relationships with their family, their kids. That's the beauty of my job. That's why I have the passion and the driving force behind trying to make a difference within this community.
Amen. I love that. Good stuff. I feel like there's a book we've read. As the men here, a group of men's reading it now, and some of his other men has read it. It's called Titus 10. And one of those chapters is investment. And just, he stresses how we may not have everything to offer everybody, but we have something to offer somebody.
Absolutely.
And how can we serve and help each other? And I just really love that heart that I can feel in you, is just to help and to serve, and not to excuse behavior, not to condone behavior, not to overlook it or mistakes. We've all made them. But how do we eat this elephant back into restoration or rehabilitation, whatever it looks like? How do we eat this elephant one bite at a time? And just appreciate the answers you've given, because I know I threw them right at you and just went right into it.
Yes, and I can give you another, like, testament that happened this week. So I had an individual that's currently, he's done all of my programming. He's in his last two programs before he's completed all of them. And he's done such a great job. Well, an unfortunate event had happened this week with a loved one, which threw him back into the criminal behavior, which now has put him in trouble, where we have to reformat how we're going to help him. It's little things that happen to them that can spiral their direction, and you have to be willing to sit and listen and talk to them and understand, okay, what happened? Why did you allow this to get the best of you? Because now we've got to start all over again. Now, having that common communication with him, he understands that, you know, I messed up, and this is the point where he can mess up, and I can be there to kind of help and guide him on how we could do this better the next time he feels like he's going to slip up. That is what is needed. It needs somebody there that's going to listen to these individuals. You know, they have families outside of being incarcerated. They lose loved ones. They lose their children. They go through the same emotions that we do, and a lot of times it's more daunting inside because they don't get to, you know, they don't get to see their loved ones. And I'm not just going to sit here and just completely advocate for them. It's, you know, there's just some that they're trying to do really, really good, and one little thing can happen, and it can tarnish everything that we just worked for the last 9 months, and that's where we're at with that. So now we have to, you know, come up with a more productive, a more productive plan on, okay, well, when something like this happens in the real world, how are you going to adapt? How are you going to handle this? Because you were tested in here and you weren't able to handle it, which is perfectly fine because you have the resources in here that we can help you kind of guide how we're going to initiate the situation if it were to occur again. Because at the end of the day, we're all going to lose someone. We've got to figure out how we're going to cope with it. That's not an excuse for us to fall behind in our progress with rehabilitation.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Now, I think rehabilitation's got to be a big part of it, but there's also a lot of other parts of in the turning cog of being a jailer. What would you do, per se, for, you know, maybe increasing the safety of our prisons and our jails, especially for, you know, the guards, but also the inmates in some cases? Like, both ways have gone in not just our jail, but I mean just in jails in general. We know that there's cases on both sides.
Jails in general, you literally have to be there, the sounding voice for the citizens. You have to be the sounding voice for those that are incarcerated and also the employees. Training is extremely important. You have to be equipped and ready to go for any possible situation. You also have to have a stable group of individuals that are willing to not escalate situations. You've got to be a good individual as far as de-escalating situations, because your tone and your demeanor could spark the situation and make it a whole lot worse than it initially needs to be. So you've got to be level-headed. You've got to be calm. You've got to kind of understand that these individuals are upset for something, and it's not necessarily pertaining to you. They're mad about something. What is it? Get to the bottom of it and try to figure out how we're going to fix this without it turning into a riot or a fight, a physical altercation. A lot of times, if you talk to these individuals calmly when those situations happen, you can de-escalate it.
Yeah. Now, I've never been to prison. I haven't. But, like, what is the atmosphere like? Is it really, like, that intense in there at times? Or is it kind of like, does those shows kind of spice it up a little bit more? Like, I'm just curious. I've got you here, so I gotta ask this.
So I do watch those shows.
Yeah. Are those accurate?
In a sense, yes. But, you know, there's some days where it will be, and I don't want to say the Q word, quiet, because we frown upon that word. A lot of times it will be.
Yeah.
But when it's not, that's when it's pretty serious.
Yeah.
You know, you'll have your occasional disagreements. I mean, you have 25 people living in a cell together, and you know, they all each have their own individualized issues, and then trying to share one remote, you know, so it gets intense at times.
I couldn't imagine that my kids.
Like, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, and then
like
you have
a group home.
It's almost like adult babysitting. We have to referee, make sure everybody has adequate TV time, who gets the tablet, you know, sometimes. But, you know, I'd rather have those tiny issues than the major issues that we have to send somebody out medically or our employees getting attacked, because we have had that happen. Mm-hmm. And it's unfortunate, but you have to be, like I said, equipped and trained and ready for those situations, because they can erupt at any point in time. I mean, we have individuals coming in under the influence of so many narcotics and substances that sometimes they have super strengths, and it literally takes every deputy on the floor plus outside agencies to come in to handle these individuals. We have to be equipped and ready, and you have to be mentally, not mentally stable, but mentally there, present to attack these issues when they arise. But you also have to understand that you have to handle it accordingly, because if not, it could escalate if you don't. And that's something we try to avoid.
Yeah. One last hard question.
Okay.
I appreciate it. I've enjoyed this interview. What about bureaucracy and red tape? Do you feel you all have too much, or do you feel like you need more?
Go into that a little bit more for me.
Like, I feel like I hear this a lot from organizations, and we have the blessing to talk to a lot of different people and a lot of different people in offices and programs and organizations. A lot of them feel like there's hands tied, so they can't really do their job well. Do you feel like that's the same way, like that people are making rules and structure for you guys have to follow that's never actually have even done it? Like, you don't even know what you're doing. Do you feel like you all encounter that a lot in the system?
Well, sometimes I feel like there's a lot of gray area. It's not black or white. It's, okay, here's what we need to do, but then you go to do it and it doesn't make sense.
Mm-hmm.
That's just, it's one of those things you try to use your best judgment on what you need to do and how to do it and how to articulate those situations. We do the best that we can with what we're given, mm-hmm. you know, and.
Yeah. We've had this conversation with a lot of people, and some of them are like, yeah, we're okay. And then someone's like, oh my gosh, I feel like every time we try to do something, we're hitting another red flag or another red line. And it's like, oh, frustration building. And they're like, if I was just here or doing that or something like that. And so I feel like there's a lot that we interview that's more in that area of like, there's so much bureaucracy that sometimes it's hard to get the job done. So,
well, we get a lot of criticism. I mean, it's almost like a double-edged sword. You try to do the best that you possibly can, and at some point, somebody's not going to be happy about it. You know, we try to do the best that we possibly
can.
Kind of
sounds like pastoring.
Yes. You try to do the best that you possibly can with the situations that you've been given, but there's still somebody that's not content with it. And, you know, and at the end of the day, we have to ensure the safety and the well-being mm-hmm. of the individuals that are incarcerated. We also have to put in mind the employees that have to, you know, face the unthinkable at certain times. So, yes and no. I mean, it really just depends. For mm-hmm. our facility currently, I feel like, and I'm speaking of Meade County.
Sure.
I feel like we've pretty much flourished. We haven't really had much issues as far as red tape or anything like that.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for taking your time.
Oh,
and
I appreciate
coming
you
on. And I love how you started. The Lord's led you into it. And mm-hmm. that's what we were talking about. The Lord should lead us into all things, and whatever we're doing, it should be for His glory yes. and His guidance.
I do want to add this in,
sure.
that as you were speaking, I was thinking about, and even what Pastor Aaron just brought in with the red tape and everything. I think sometimes it's easy to get overwhelmed when we look at the flaws in the whole system, like the flaws in the whole big picture.
Mm-hmm.
And not that we should ever not have goals for the big goals, but I love about how you're speaking. It reminds me of focusing on the one, you know, because you gave us testimonies of, you know, success stories of individuals.
Mm-hmm.
And I think when you have that mindset to help on the individual level, that's where you start to see the change happen, when you focus on one individual at a time versus trying to fix the whole thing, if that makes sense. So I think that we can see, you know, the passion, the care that you have for each person and making them feel that way.
Absolutely.
Because if you just feel like you're another number in the system, then your mindset isn't going to really change. But when you see that somebody invests in you, I think that's when we start to see one life truly change at a time. So
I completely agree.
Yeah. So thank you again.
Thank you for
Amen.
Having me.
Miss Ashley Board,
thank
running
you.
For Breckinridge County Jailer. Thank you so much for coming on. Blessings upon you.
You as well.
And hope you recover well from your sickness. You did great.
You thank
did great.
You. I'm trying, but thank you.
Amen. Well, we're going to take a quick break here. Come back in here after the break here on Mornings of Box 2 Radio on the Box 2 Radio Network.
That was so good. Thank you.
You're welcome. Thanks for coming on.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Yeah.
Do you care if I leave these here?
No, that's completely fine. We keep things out on the front desk and different things like that. So
I so appreciate you all taking the time.
Yeah.
Welcome back to Mornings with Box 2 Radio. It's Friday. It's 8:30. That means it's Mr. Charles Bjork. Mr. Bjork, are you with us this morning? What's that? You got a little bit of a background noise.
Misaligned.
Okay.
Do you
have me on speaker there?
Yeah, I do.
Okay.
And, so I can hear you. about.
Yeah, there's a lot of noise in the background.
You still have noise?
Yes. Talking and such.
I'm wondering how I can get rid of that guy.
Yeah.
I have my television on. Maybe that's
the problem. That's probably the problem right there.
All right. All right. Figure out a way to get that turned off.
All right. Then we'll jump right in.
Technology here. Diverse. It's amazing.
Yeah. We got it? And Roger, we seem to have an echo on our part, too. Is that just my headphones?
Got to push the red button. That killed it.
All right. Very good. Yeah, I think we're ready to go.
Yeah. Oh.
Okay.
Got me loud and clear now.
Now we got you loud and clear. We're ready to go.
All right. Well, I've hooked into the James Webb telescope.
All right.
My problem. I'm still hooked in, fortunately, but I'm not interfering with your program.
Yeah.
But it's an amazing tool.
Yeah. Absolutely.
And I annoyed my whole family this morning, one way or the other, getting ready for that.
Well, I wanted to fight through all that background noise and the technical difficulties there, just to, because I had several things I wanted to ask you about, because sure. I know we, of course, we're dealing with Iran and a lot of bombing and stuff going on there, and I've heard Space Force mentioned several times. In,
oh, yeah.
In all that, all the laser-guided missiles and things like that.
Right.
So is that what's going on there? Space Force is basically, I guess, pinpointing locations by from space.
Right.
Yeah. You know, by satellite, I guess. Is that the case?
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
And it's a pretty solid job too. I'm really impressed with it.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. So if I understand correctly, they're using satellites and basically, I guess, making a infrared marking on some of these targets so that the missile can latch onto it.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they're doing all that from the Huntsville area? Or are they still in Colorado?
Colorado.
Okay.
And of course, I've had my son in Europe mm-hmm. on the line a little bit earlier, and I got some input from him.
Uh-huh.
And he's on assignment there, and then of course my other son Charles is right here.
Mm-hmm.
And he has a radio program, and he also has a radio connection with his company. So he works at the home here.
Yeah.
And he's totally locked in for the whole day. And then right across the hall from me is my wife, who hasn't complained about anything yet. So that's good.
Yeah. All right. So now, if I'm not mistaken, you did a lot of work with lasers and ballistic missiles and things like that back in the day.
Laser weapon systems.
Yeah.
And, love the work, and I every once in a while I get I have a visit from a colleague.
Mm-hmm.
It's always good to bring that up, and they get here.
Yeah,
and,
sure.
And my wife is tires quickly.
Yeah.
Compared to that.
When y'all talking shop, she doesn't participate, huh?
That's right.
Yeah.
And then my son Charles has got his own. He has a company called Momentum.
Yeah.
And he player in that thing, and that's currently on.
Sure.
Right now, I just saw him a few minutes ago, while I was listening to the program, and
right.
He's quite busy through the whole day for that, and. And so, it's quite an exciting
yeah.
program for him as NASA is doing with the space telescope is truly remarkable.
Yeah, you said you were checking out the James Webb telescope. Any new developments there?
Yep. And so I can actually tune in on the thing and looking at some of the outputs from the James Webb telescope right now. It's kind of striking there. Of course, the big deal is both either the Moon or Mars recently, and they're talking about the Venera spacecraft now, and they found a world outside of the solar system, part of their extraterrestrial activity, and it's really got a lot of people excited.
Sure.
What they can produce for that, and they one planet is an exoplanet of the size of Jupiter, and it's leaking twin gas tails, which helps us find it, and so they call it a super puff exoplanet, and it's losing its atmosphere, and they're being able to catch it in real time, so it's kind of an exciting thing, capability to have a connection to. The other thing is they have the a whole variety of exoplanet connections that they make, and another one shows PSR J3322650B, and gives a great picture, and its orbit there in deep space, and the gravitational forces are spoken of, and they're. I'm so glad that they this kind of access that you can get with the James Webb telescope and other sources that NASA has.
Yeah.
Because it gives you things that you wouldn't normally be able to work with without going to the library or something.
Sure.
But they've got this super puff planet, and they got it all the parent star, and they go from one star to the other to get to the input for it, and it's really kind of exciting. One illustration that I've got here on the screen right now is a traditional black widow pulsar as a neutron star stripping away the mass from the stellar component. This is all in color. It's quite entertaining for that matter. It's been annoying my wife a number of times. 3,700 degree temperature, so it's pretty high, and that's why the emission that we can get to get up with the James Webb telescope is so possible, and has almost no oxygen or nitrogen in the planet's atmosphere, and there's 150 or so exoplanet atmosphere like this that it studies, so it's got quite a connection. And so gives a lot of information available for this project. And the fact that it's leaking the gas allows them to have more material they can show information for. You know, that's kind of extraordinary. And then they also have the various planets that show up, various different planets that show up right now. The super puff exoplanet is losing its atmosphere, and the James Webb telescope is able to pick that up. That's really interesting, very exciting. The strongest evidence yet they've ever received for an atmosphere was around a rocky exoplanet. Gosh. Tremendous thing for a wet lava ball, it looks like.
Wow.
Yeah. they go into a real good detail on how the gas giants and exoplanets are born. And they click on the thing and I'm bringing up a whole new score for you to look and to study. So it's quite an interesting project. Right, this particular one they show the mystery object is a 120 million mile wide cloud of vaporized metal all together. So it's almost like you see a picture of Saturn, you know, with its rings.
Yeah.
And then struck side is this huge 120 million wide cloud of vaporized metal.
120 million miles wide?
Yes.
Wow. That's right. Yeah.
That is astounding.
Yeah, that is crazy.
They do a good job with alliteration for the pictures, and they answer their own questions to some degree when they can.
Yeah.
So you could a massive exoplanet or a failed star. You know, they have to decide which it was, but they get the information on both of those types of things, so. That's a real exciting thing to have, capable of. And they have some of them, they called, referring to previous movies, Tatooine-like exoplanets exist in our Milky Way galaxy.
And okay, now, I believe that's a reference to Star Wars, I believe.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes,
I'm not a big Star Wars fan, but I did remember hearing that.
And it's really a lot of very interesting things that they produce, and I'm happy to have access to it.
Mm-hmm.
They have like I said, they don't know whether it's a massive exoplanet or a failed star. One or the other, they get the output for each, so we don't have to make that decision. We can enjoy their product.
Right. Well, I assume it's an interesting discovery regardless, though, right?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah,
whichever one it may be.
Yeah, and to find it within our way outside of our planetary system and be able to show the detailed pictures that they've constructed to do the, you know, transmission of this to people like you and I.
Right.
And and they found another one that looks a lot like the planet Earth. They called it a cold Earth exoplanet. It's 146 light years away.
Oh, that's all. That's not...
They're looking at the star's habitable zone if it's still works. Still,
yeah.
So that's a great technology, and super Earth exoplanets have built-in magnetic protection from the churning magma that they would otherwise have to put up with, and that is good news for any life that might be existing in these men. You know, we may never get to one of these places,
but
getting the ability now with this kind of technology to enjoy it anyway. And so it's a great astronomical breakthrough. I'll tell you what, a delight for me, of course, and more of an annoyance to Mary. My son Charles appreciates it when he's not working full. But and then, of course, the activity that we're coming up on is some tremendous Mars exploration that's coming, you know, because we've had a lot of work with robotic work, on, and that's still running, and NASA is getting a good collection of that stuff. And so this is really good. They have a weekly podcast.
Okay.
Label them as episode 199, for example. They call it the obsolete astronaut.
Okay.
And it's a Mars exploration and humans and robots. So it's quite a technology to have access to.
All right. I've kind of been venturing out into podcasts, but that's not one of them. No offense,
yeah.
Mr. Bjork. I'm probably with Mary in this category there.
SpaceX is wrapping up a whole month of Starlink launches.
Now, they have a launch coming up soon, don't they?
That's right. It's coming right up, and it's not too many days hence. And it's.
I think it's the beginning of next week, if I'm not mistaken.
I think that's
only reason I remember is because this time last month, you were talking about it, and or you mentioned it, and I was trying to figure out why you weren't any more excited about it, but then I realized it was a month away. But hopefully we'll have some information on that next week as a
No trouble. And my wife is hating to release my son as well.
Yeah.
I try not to bother too much, but he is trying to do this.
Well, there's always the chance, too, that these things get delayed a lot of times because everything has to be right, you know.
That's right.
And we got to make sure we don't want to put anybody's life in danger. So a lot of times they do get delayed or bumped back a few hours or a few days or whatever.
Oh, yeah. So. Yeah, that's for sure. And they had a question here. SpaceX has a Starship that may not be able to fly on the revamped Artemis 3 mission that's coming up. And there's some technical difficulties. I hope it doesn't stay away from the production of information that you and I are enjoying. But it's the Artemis 3 mission, of course, is on us, and they've got some really detailed layouts for that activity. And I'll probably be really buried in that all the way. They have decided that the Artemis 2 mission, it really annoyed me when I studied it, because now they've got no lunar landing at all. Goes up to the moon, flies around it multiple times, and then comes back to Earth.
No landing?
No landing.
Oh, that's going to give the conspiracy theory people ammunition there.
NASA has decided that the Artemis 3 astronauts will not land on the moon after all.
Okay.
And they just say it's the right way to go forward, backward, not to make those guys land on the moon. Much like this, and I'm sure they have their. I was very disappointed when I found out that this moon mission that was underway with the crew and already, you know, getting ready for it,
was
not going to be able to land on the moon. They're just going to fly by it. But that's they're going to run several of these. If you don't have to land on the Mars or the moon, it makes life a lot easier for NASA. Annoying for all the employees, I'm positive.
But I'm sure, yeah.
Nevertheless, and for us people who are living off their product, also, that's we just you know, that doesn't seem the right be the right path forward. To, and that but they are able to solve a number of problems. And I got one running right now on the. Apollo mission box, and that's that. You take these things and you couple them with the James Webb telescope stuff, which is almost daily producing material for us.
Okay.
And of course, it's usually on deep space as opposed to the moon and Mars, but. They have some in both cases, and more than I or my nearby family can handle at times.
Yeah.
But it makes for a great material for our program, and so I'm delighted about that. And and they're not. They don't hold back their stuff. That Hubble telescope stuff has so many fantastic things. It's all in color. And they found out this another one similar to the one we described earlier as a hot gas blast of 32 light years long all by itself.
Wow.
That's a humongous amount of information for them to study and produce products for people like you and I.
Yeah.
So I'm delighted that they do that. I tell you what, it's a blessing. And the other thing, the astronomers are jumping in. They've found a lot of work is coming out of the black matter studies that are underway.
Mm-hmm.
But, they have an enormous iron bar in the thing called the Ring Nebula, which is...
Nebula or Nebula?
Nebula.
Okay.
Yeah, N-E-B-U-L-A.
Okay.
And it's a famous ring nebula, famous to people who are astronomers. Baby stars that they're producing, and they've got product here from January 16th of 2025, so it's fairly recent. And they've got the baby stars hard at work in their region, and they get a lot of information on those stars that they produce this material too. So I'm really glad to see that sort of thing. And they got one. Startling. Where the star dies, the moon dies. Mid-time coverage of that whole thing happening, and the messy death of the star in real time, you call it.
Right.
And it's really good information, I tell you. And so. The next thing that we can look for here in April, of course, is the Artemis II moon rocket, the one that they don't land. I was annoyed when I saw that. And I said, well, I'll be a good fan, even though the darn thing's not going to land. That launch is still on. And, of course, fairly forthcoming with the information, and I'm happy to say. And then, of course, Jeff Bezos has been in the business of... Blue Origin flying his booster. It's going to be the next powerful New Glenn rocket launch that he's got going. And that thing is an exciting rocket. It's glad to see NASA getting some support and company for their activity. And it's a great mission for those guys. And, Rocket Lab is a really up-and-coming company in this Neutron rocket that they've come up with is really a tremendous breakthrough.
And yeah.
It's got we'll hear a lot of that. So we'll keep you posted on that.
Sure. Well, that's probably a good place to stop right there because we're running out of time.
Yeah.
You can update us on that. And love to hear the information next week about that SpaceX launch if they're able to get it off the ground there, which I mean, I'm sure they're capable of it. It's just whether if it cooperates or not.
Yeah.
But so hopefully we can pick up some of that information next Friday.
Yeah.
But until then, it's always good to talk to you, Mr. Bjork. And
it's always good. Have a great time.
Okay. Yeah. Absolutely. And all right, well, yeah, you too. Have a great weekend. Our listeners, thank you for tuning in. Thank you for making Mornings with Box 2 part of your week. We appreciate that, and it's always a blessing to hear from our listeners and people who make that part of their week. Tune in on Monday. We're back again, 7 a.m. on Monday morning, Mornings with Box 2 Radio. Have a great weekend.